From NPR News in Washington, I'm Paul Brown. The mayor of Grand Isle, Louisiana, David Camardel, says BP's Gulf oil spill is devastating the environment and people's way of life and ability to make ends meet.
The island is completely shut down. You know, we make a living, all of us, you know, between oil and gas and the commercial fishing, the charter boat captains, the marinas, recreational fishing, the grocery stores. I mean, there's no tourism.
Louisiana Governor Bobby Jindal slams BP and the federal government, saying neither the oil company nor the Army Corps of Engineers nor the White House is moving fast enough. BP is pumping mud into the ruptured well, hoping to plug the leak as oil washes up on the Louisiana shores. President Obama will announce new safety requirements for offshore oil drilling today at the White House. NPR's Mara Liasson reports he is also planning his second trip to the Gulf to inspect the spill tomorrow.
On Wednesday, President Obama toured a factory in California that makes solar panels, and he said the oil spill was heartbreaking.
Livelihoods destroyed, landscapes scarred, wildlife affected, lives have been lost. Our thoughts and prayers are very much with the people along the Gulf Coast.
The president said he wouldn't rest until the well is shut and the environment repaired. Today, he'll announce new tougher rules for offshore drilling and also repeat his call for more investment in alternative sources of fuel. Mara Liasson, NPR News, The White House.
Secretary of State Hillary Clinton speaks today on the Obama administration's new national security policy. NPR's Ari Shapiro reports this follows a similar speech by the White House counterterrorism advisor.
It has been a week-long rollout of a policy that was a year and a half in the making. Last Saturday, President Obama previewed his national security strategy in a commencement speech at West Point. Yesterday, counterterrorism advisor John Brennan expanded on the document's main themes. He said America is strong because of its values, its laws, and its alliances.
This strategy aims to renew American leadership in the 21st century by rebuilding the fundamental sources of American strength, security, prosperity, and influence in the world.
Today, Secretary Clinton will talk about the diplomatic aspects of the new national security approach. This is President Obama's first national security strategy. President Bush had two during his 8 years in office. Ari Shapiro, NPR News, Washington.
North Korea says it is abandoning an agreement to prevent accidental naval clashes with South Korea after South Korea says the North torpedoed and sank a South Korean warship. 46 people died when the ship went down. North Korea is also banning South Koreans and their vehicles from an industrial park in the north that is jointly operated by the two countries. Stock prices are up across Asia and Europe on new confidence about the world's economy, but a new U.S. government report shows the gross domestic product growing more slowly than earlier estimated. This is NPR News. Efforts to overturn a 17-year-old law barring gays and lesbians from serving openly in the military are gaining momentum. More lawmakers are in favor of repealing the so-called Don't Ask, Don't Tell law. And NPR's Tom Bowman reports the lead sponsor is becoming more confident of victory.
A House vote is expected today to overturn Don't Ask, Don't Tell, which has led to the dismissal of thousands of gays and lesbians. Congressman Patrick Murphy, a Democrat from Pennsylvania and an Iraq war veteran, is a lead sponsor of the measure. Murphy says there are enough votes for passage in the House, but the Senate vote will be closer.
It's going to be tight, but I do believe that we will have the votes in the Senate.
Some lawmakers favor waiting until December for a vote. That's when the Pentagon will determine how repealing Don't Ask, Don't Tell will affect the military on everything from recruiting and retention to unit cohesion. Tom Bowman, NPR News, Washington.
The 13-year-old U.S. boy, who's now the youngest person to climb Mount Everest, the world's tallest mountain, says he now plans another big climb on the Nepal-China border. Here's Jordan Romero today at a news conference in Kathmandu, Nepal.
This autumn, I plan to go ahead and climb Choyu, the sixth highest mountain in the world, and hopefully plan to ski down.
And Romero has these words for other people his age.
I definitely do encourage younger people to go big.
Romero says he wants to climb the highest mountain on each of the world's seven continents. He plans to scale the final one on his list, Vinson Massif in Antarctica, this coming winter. He says the Everest expedition went smoothly despite high winds. I'm Paul Brown, NPR News, Washington.